WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Our language is constantly changing, but linguist Jeff Nunberg says it can be poignant to watch a particularly colorful word headed for obscurity.
When I was in my teens, I always had this clear picture of how it was going to be. She was going to look like Jean Arthur or Barbara Stanwyck. And at a certain point, she was going to stamp her pretty little foot and look up at me and say, "You big galoot, can't you see I'm crazy about you?" Only I grew up too short and too late. My frame is not what you'd call galootish, and anyway, the word was all but extinct by the time I reached my majority. I'm not one of those people who fear for the state of Western civilization every time the language changes, but I'll miss galoot, and I'm kind of puzzled it's gone. Sometimes a word has to be put out to pasture when it's outlived its usefulness. I have a certain nostalgia for antimacassar, furbelow, and poop deck on purely phonetic grounds, but I can see that it would have been impractical to try to keep them around. And other words are predestined to burn out after brief meteoric careers. It's not surprising you don't hear groovy and far out anymore. Words like those are the Nancy Sinatras and Tommy Sands of the English lexicon. But galoot has been doing quiet, useful work for more than 100 years, and it isn't as if there was suddenly nothing more to apply it to. The woods are still full of galoots, Randy Quaid, Roger Clemens, John Kenneth Galbraith, only now we have to find something else to call them. It isn't just slang words this happens to. Whatever became of dudgeon, meaning indignation, as in the sentence, "The roacher stomps back to the dugout in high dudgeon." This one has been around since the mid-16th century, and then it seems suddenly to have vanished, like someone who stepped out to buy a pack of cigarettes in August of 1952 and was never heard from again. And where did geegaw go after 700 years of honorable service? Or chum, which has been around since Dryden's time? Just think of the publisher that reissues all of the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew books, having to hire legions of editors whose job it is to scratch out every occurrence of chum and replace it with friend or pal. When I checked these words in the dictionary, I found they shared a curious property. Galoot, dudgeon, geegaw, and chum are all marked with the haunting phrase of obscure origin. Lexicographers like to speculate about where they came from, of course, and you can always find some word in another language that sounds like the word you're interested in. Eric Partridge thought that galoot might have come from the Dutch word gelupt, meaning eunuch, but he had no evidence for the connection and no account of why that word should turn up in English meaning an oafish fellow. Or maybe it's from the French gelot, meaning glutton. You can make up your own story about this one. This is what makes etymology such an entertaining pastime, but with some words, there's simply no way to tell where they came from. I think of these as Heathcliff words. They're these dark strangers that show up on the doorstep one day to claim their place in the linguistic household. Some of them are sent to sleep in the barn, like galoot. Others, like dudgeon, plop themselves down brazenly at the dinner table. Yet there's always something a little different about them. And maybe it's foreordained that one day they should slip away just as mysteriously as they arrived. Will they come back as ghosts then? Words do that sometimes. Take swell. It's been a generation or two since the word was last used in earnest, but people do still say it ironically. That's a swell idea, as if to say, "Where are you coming from, 1940? It would make a nicely romantic ending for the story. Someday I'll look up and glimpse the spirits of galoot and dudgeon gliding over the moor like Heathcliff and Kathy.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto.